Support for this podcast comes from Progressive, America's number one boat insurer. We've all made mistakes on the water, but there's one mistake you shouldn't make: being uninsured. With Progressive Boat Insurance, you can choose coverage for most mistakes you or other boaters could make, helping you float carefree all season long. Quote today, Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, number one rating based on boat market share data from ratefilings.com.
Off the ball, GAA.
You would have associated Cork with small, nippy players. That seems to be changing now to big, nippy players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
This is News Talk.
You are welcome back to Wednesday's show. The eve of the 89th Masters Tournament. Scotty Scheffler, top of the betting. Understandable, given what happened last year. Got his second green jacket. It was kind of a weird start to the week around about this time, where he was in orange as opposed to green. It was a 7-win season last year. This time around, he's been injured, but yet Nathan Murphy and his friends in Golf Weekly earlier said today, don't look past Scotty Scheffler whatsoever. This man is getting another green jacket. It's going to be 3 and 4 years. Lawrence Dunnigan is with us to look ahead to the action at Augusta. Lawrence, how are you getting on?
Oh, great. Well, I'm really happy that we're over the hump on the par 3 contest. Jeez, oh, I think this is our penance for the joy of the Masters. We have to suffer through the par 3 contest.
But feels like this week's been a bit of a slow starter, because on Monday we had the thunderstorms. We didn't get the practice play until late in the day. I must admit, the par 3 never sucks me in when it comes to this. I'm happy for my action to start on Thursday. I always hate the fact that we don't get to see more live golf coverage on the Thursday, but unfortunately us patrons on TV as opposed to patrons in the ground, we have to wait a little while to see Augusta and probably follow it all on the app.
The app's pretty good. Actually, if you look at, I mean, we're not talking about the golf here, but if you look at the app and the development of TV coverage and streaming over the last 5 years, the app really is so far ahead of what has subsequently come down the pipe. I mean, the Masters were providing these incredible streams, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, comprehensive coverage of everything. I mean, have you seen it this week? You can follow every shot that every player hits on the driving range. I mean, it's insane. I mean, it's brilliant. But yeah, you are right. I mean, again, I'm still like an old boy here, but you go back, I mean, I was a kid watching, you only used to be able to see the back nine on Sunday. Mm. That was it. You know, you turn it on and so the golf course was a mystery, but now we can see every aspect of it and it's and all of its magnificence. As soon as I finish this interview, I'm jumping on a plane and getting there. I swear to goodness, it's like Christmas Eve. I mean, I've been there many times, but it's it never fails to kind of capture the imagination. Can't wait for tomorrow morning.
Does it remain, as you say, when you go every year, still the amazing experience? Because you know what I've been reading all week is the tariffs haven't kicked in on the very cheap prices that are available for people having a beer. The imported beer still stays at $5 this time around. Trump's tariffs haven't kicked in.
No, not yet. No, it's I think it's all domestic beers, actually. But yes, it really is. I mean, God knows I spent many years slagging these guys off, the old green jackets, but my goodness, they do try their best to look after the patrons, I guess we'll give them their due. They call them patrons. I mean, the concession stands. In this day and age, I was at a baseball game in San Francisco the other day, it was like $17 for a beer. Oof. I mean, it's just preposterous. Again, we're not talking about golf, but you know, that is part of the whole experience. You obviously got the physical, you know, presence of the golf course. It's quite a magnificent place. For people who've been there will know that. People who haven't, then I'm sorry. But then you add in terms of a fan experience, the whole kind of concessions things, they stick to it. You know, you can buy a sandwich for $2 and a hot dog for $1.50. I mean, who know? I mean, it's amazing. You know, it's absolutely amazing. What I would say, though, is they'll ream you at the other end if you want to go and buy a T-shirt or something. It's pretty pricey stuff.
Yeah.
But overall, just a great experience. And then you actually have what really matters is the golf. And that is itself is always, you know, it's very rarely. I was thinking about it yesterday. It's very rare you get a run of dud Masters. I'm thinking of 2007, 2008, probably Zach Johnson won it in 2007. Trevor Immelman shot 75. On the final day to win it in 2008. Not great, But generally, the Masters really, really serves up a good one.
So I was just thinking earlier, obviously, one of the great benefits is that you know the course as intimately from watching it year on year. And I understand there have been some renovations and changes for the 89th edition.
A little bit,
but probably not too much fundamentally.
Well, there's a couple of differences. Well, there's four greens have been relaid, put partly because of the damage from the hurricane earlier in the year. So the layperson, even I steeped in golf for 30 years, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference. But I was listening to Jose Maria Lathabal talking about, you know, the 16th, a tree fell right in the middle of the 16th green, and so obviously they had to dig it all up and relay it. And you and I would look at it and not notice the difference from previous years. But he went through a whole catalogue of very, very subtle changes. There's also that a lot of the hurricane brought down a lot of trees. So when you see it on TV this year, you actually were at the ANWA at the weekend. You could see it. A lot of trees have come down, and that will, again, it's not a major shift in how the golf course will play, but it will affect, you know, some shots. For instance, the famous 10th hole, Rory's famous hole from 2011, there are a lot of trees down the left-hand side of that hole have gone, and that might change the way that guys would play that hole, for instance.
Yeah, the course form seems to be so important here, Lawrence. We were lucky enough that we had Padraig Harrington with us a couple of years ago, and he just gave us a run-through to chat about. He said even just getting out to practice there is so important. Maybe that's where Rory wanted to go out a little bit earlier and get a look at the course. He was just saying if you haven't played it multiple times before, you need to have an intimate knowledge of almost where you're playing every shot out there.
Yeah, the famous stat is that only one rookie has ever won the Masters, of Fuzzy Zeller in 1974 or whenever it was. Yeah, it's a golf course. Again, there's a stats kicking.
What makes a leader? It's a tough question, but this we know for sure. True leaders lead by example. They take risks and plunge into life with determination. And for real leaders, there's a symbol of high adrenaline and high achievement, the Range Rover Sport. The Range Rover Sport redefines sporting luxury with a dramatic modern design that meets a distinctive sporting character. And a well-appointed cabin brings a sense of occasion to every drive. The active noise cancellation feature filters out unwanted sound, making the cabin a cocoon-like sanctuary. Optional PM2.5 filtration reduces odors, bacteria, and allergens, while CO2 management enhances the wellness of everyone on board. Plus, you can curate the mood of every journey with configurable cabin lighting and bring a hint of refinement to every drive with optional 22-way adjustable, heated, and ventilated electric memory front seats with massage function. Build your Range Rover Sport at rangerover.com/US/sport. That's rangerover.com/US/sport.
Right, I'm trying to look it up here as I'm talking to you, but, you know, if you haven't, I think 45 of the last, no, oh, I can't remember. Anyway, you gotta know this golf course. Apart from the intimidation factor, I mean, if you're a rookie showing up, you know, it's awe-inspiring. You know, you've seen it as a kid, you've grown up as an elite golfer, and you get there, and it's awe-inspiring. The subtleties are they take a long time to learn. I mean, Rory's 16th 16th Masters. I mean, Shane Lowry's, this is his 10th Masters. So those guys, they know the golf course well, but it is a golf course that requires a lot of learning, especially the guys who don't really know a lot, you know, sufficiently well. They kind of take too many risks. I mean, if you ever listen to Tiger talking about Augusta, his whole thing was about minimizing mistakes. Players here very, very seldom aim for pins. You're always aiming away from pins. You're always aiming to a spot that you can safely make a par and give yourself a chance of a birdie. The guys who kind of falter are the guys who might not know it sufficiently well to know not to go straight at targets. I mean, so that's certainly a big learning. Yeah, it's a very intimidating golf course if you haven't, you know, played it a lot.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to Larry a few years ago about that, and he went out in a group with Tiger, and he said this was the dream moment. You know, Tiger Woods is his childhood hero. Next thing he finds himself in a group with him at the Masters going around Augusta. And he said the one thing that you really learned from Tiger was that Tiger was never hyper-aggressive at any point.
That's right.
If it was a fairway bunker, he'd be careful. He would lay up, he put himself into a decent position, probably trust his iron play from that point. While Shane was saying that younger part of his career, he felt that he really had to attack this course. But he said this course will punish you if you try and be too aggressive too often.
You're dropping a lot of names here, Will.
Look, Harrington Lowry is about as far as we go when it comes to golfers I've talked about. I'm running out. John Rahm, I think, is about the last one I've left. And the last time I talked to John Rahm was at the Irish Open when he broke in a club a few holes before. That was an awkward interview, I can tell you.
Yeah, I could absolutely guarantee it would have been. You are right. We're talking about Scheffler. You're the boys on the podcast. We're talking about Scheffler, and I think that's why he's going. I think his third. This would be, if he won this year, it'd be his third win in 4 years. I think that'd be he'd be the second guy to ever do that in history after Nicklaus in the mid 70s. The thing about Scheffler, the big comparison this year is Scheffler and Rory, and you put them side by side in terms of raw talent and, you know, charisma and, you know, how they strike the ball. McIlroy's got a clear edge. But where Scheffler excels is in how he picks apart golf courses. Nobody's been as good at course management since Tiger. Scheffler is very much a guy. Here's a tip for all the golf nerds out there. If you've got nothing to do, and not this week, unfortunately, because it won't be there, but if you're a big event on the PGA Tour, go and look at the PGA Tour app and follow Scotty Scheffler's shot trails. You can follow, it's a little kind of graphic, and Scheffler is a genius at it. He never takes on any risks. He always aims away from big trouble, and he never goes directly at tuck pins. He's always playing on the fat side. It's astonishing how disciplined he is. And that, he's brought that discipline. Well, he certainly brought it to the PGA Tour last year. He won 7 times. But he brings that to Augusta, and that's really what you need. It's like knowing that there's a very famous pin on a Sunday on the 12th, the par 3, and it's tucked right. And, the smart players... Scheffler, Tiger, these guys—they're all just they aim. There's a bunker that, sits in the front of the middle of that green. The pin's way right, and the smart guys always just hit it over that bunker and putt across to the pin on the right. The guys who are too aggressive, they kind of go for that right pin, and it actually requires a lot more carry than they might think. And these are the boys that end up in the water. It's that kind of. Again, it's not a glamorous skill, is it? But it's having the discipline in the moment to take risk out of the shot, or as much risk out of the shot as you possibly can. And Scheffler certainly got that. Tiger had it. It is, again, that this golf course, more than any other, puts a premium on that kind of play.
It's intimidating consistency. I remember over kind of the 2-year period of the last couple of years, he had so few rounds that he went into the 70s. Like, everyone has a bad round here and there. Scheffler wasn't.
Yeah. No, that's right. It'd be interesting to see this year, though. If you look, I mean, he hasn't won on the PGA Tour this year. You did mention he has been injured, but he's been back a little while, and it's not been a particularly, well, certainly by Scheffler standards, it's not been a particularly impressive start to the season. And the interesting thing for me is just to see how well, again, going back to the shot trails, I follow his shot trails, obsessively, and he's maybe not hitting his targets to the same extent that he was last year. So that suggests to me that his ball striking isn't quite what it was last year. I'll be interested to see if he brings his A-plus game or A++ game this week. If he does, then everybody should really watch out. But if he brings a game that he has brought, for the last few weeks out in the PGA Tour, it'll certainly be good enough to challenge, but I just wonder if it'll be good enough to take him over the top. You look at Rory, I mean, you can't take your eyes off Rory when he's swinging a club or hitting a golf ball. I mean, Scheffler, it's not an oil painting, the golf swing, obviously, but it really just goes to show you it doesn't matter how it looks, it just matters where it goes, and he has that. But again, not an amazing start to this year, so that would be my one caveat if I was to say that Scheffler is the guy to beat.
I promise I wasn't trying to avoid the obvious question about, is this the time that Rory finally gets fitted for a green jacket? So his form has been good. 2 wins, no finishes worse than 17th this season.
Yeah. The other thing, again, not to get too nerdy, but, get buried in stats, leading the tour in strokes gained, total strokes gained, leading the tour and tee to green strokes gained. Oh, sorry, second place to Morikawa and strokes gained tee to green. These are stats that you you know, if you look back on the history of Augusta, these are stats that really, really matter. The winners usually come from those types of players. He's played exceptionally well. Again, he would say, well, he won the player saying he didn't have his best game. But that's, to me in itself, that holds a lot of interest. I just talked there about the way Scheffler has, the way that Scheffler plays, picks apart golf courses. If you remember, Rory played with Scheffler last year and the first two rounds at the Masters and got an absolute doing, as we say in Scotland. Rory probably looked at that and thought, oh my goodness, I am nowhere. In fact, he might have said something to that effect. I can't quite remember. But I'm nowhere near that guy in terms of how to take on, you know, difficult golf courses. If you look at it this year, it seems to me that Rory has taken the Scheffler playbook and applied it to his own golf, and it's been extremely impressive. Just taking a bit more, again, what makes Rory Rory? The fact he's so flamboyant and prepared to take on the heroic shots, maybe less so this year. And, you know, you have the good form. You know, he's won twice, and these are not, he's not won piddling events. He hasn't won the Amex in Palm Springs, by the way. He won Pebble Beach, a signature event, very impressively, and he's won the Players. I mean, these are probably the two biggest events in the PGA Tour this year. If it was anybody else, we would be calling him as an absolute stick on.
100%. You know, and people will be saying as well, the Players is such a good indication of how people are going to play at the Masters as well. The only concern about Rory was a couple of weeks ago when he went, I'm kind of feeling the elbow a little bit. Is that a concern?
I think who, been around these guys a long time, you never know. You know, they say more than their prayers, as my grandmother used to say. But he seems to be fine. He brushed it aside when asked about it. So, yeah, there is that.
What makes a leader? It's a tough question, but this we know for sure. True leaders lead by example. They take risks and plunge into life with determination. And for real leaders, there's a symbol of high adrenaline and high achievement, the Range Rover Sport. The Range Rover Sport redefines sporting luxury with a dramatic modern design that meets a distinctive sporting character. And a well-appointed cabin brings a sense of occasion to every drive. The active noise cancellation feature filters out unwanted sound, making the cabin a cocoon-like sanctuary. Optional PM2.5 filtration reduces odors, bacteria, and allergens, while CO2 management enhances the wellness of everyone on board. Plus, you can curate the mood of every journey with configurable cabin lighting and bring a hint of refinement to every drive with optional 22-way adjustable, heated, and ventilated electric memory front seats with massage function. Build your Range Rover Sport at rangerover.com/US/sport. That's rangerover.com/US/sport.
Fair, I come on the show every year and I say Rory's good. I always pick Rory. I'm a massive McIlroy. Who isn't a massive McIlroy fan? And, you know, if you love golf, you've got to love the way that he plays. I'm not going to say that, but I think the line I've settled on this year, this is, if he doesn't win it this year, then I doubt he will ever win this golf tournament, because he has never been in a better position to actually to go and do it. And if he doesn't win it, it won't be a physical thing. Then you get into the territory of, you know, how much. There's an amazing piece, and it's actually free on the website. Go to the New York Times this morning. It's an amazing piece about scar tissue in golf. And McIlroy's actually, he gave a lot of himself in this interview. So I would advise people to go and read that. And if he doesn't win it, then you have to look at the scar tissue. I mean, you have to go back to 2011. In this interview, he does say that, you know, he can laugh about it now. Sorry, Rory, I don't believe that. I mean, he got a guy kicked out of the Players' Championship this year for heckling him about the 2011 collapse. You know, I'm sure people do recall leading after 54 holes by four shots, still leading by one with nine, standing on the 10th tee on the Sunday and takes a triple on 10. There's forlorn, awful photographs. I was looking at them the other day of him wandering around in the cabins. Nobody knew were there. Oh. I mean, I'd been going to the Masters for a long time. Nobody knew were there. And
there's two pictures that stand out for me of McIlroy, right, in the painful years. That one on that green when he realised this is slipping away. And obviously after he got in to sign his card last year when it all slipped away at the US Open as well.
That was a shocker. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, do you know what? Glad you brought up that, you. So when I was having a debate with somebody the other day, again, you know, people put that down to scar tissue and, oh, he's a choker. And I'm not sure that's the case. I think, you know, thinking about this, I really do think this course management thing has been an issue. If you go back to that US Open at Pinehurst, standing on the 18th, if he hit driver and pulled it left, you know, if he's hit any other club, a shorter club than driver, he would have been, you know, two putt par, and he would have at least been in a playoff. And that to me isn't choking. I guess if you're not thinking straight, that is part of choking, I guess. Mm. But if you're thinking straight, he doesn't play the hole the way that he played it. And I don't think, even if you take out hindsight, you know, if he was in the same position this year, I don't think he would play the same shot off the tee at Pinehurst. And certainly, if McIlroy, I think one of the boys on the off the ball golf pod said this, you know, if McIlroy's standing on the 10th tee this year, you know, with a one shot lead, there's no way there's zero chance that he hits the shot that he hits. And zero, again, just to go back, he hits in the trees, punches it out, 260 in off a hanging lie, hits a three wood. There's zero chance he would do that now. McIlroy's a completely different player. He's certainly a more roundy player, a better player, but he's a smarter player now. And I think that could be the difference this year. I think he's going to play smarter because, as I say, he had that experience last year playing with Scheffler and getting his hat handed to him. But, you know, if he doesn't win it, then then we just have to start delving into the whole psychological thing. And I'm not a trained psychologist. I only play one on the radio.
Indeed. And look, I don't know if I can watch more McIlroy Payne. I'm ready for some relief and finally getting himself a major after this long wait as well. Lawrence, safe trip over to Georgia. Thanks a million for joining us.
All the best, Will. Take care, mate.
Off the ball on News Talk.
This week on Diverted.
What have you heard about this festival?
That they fight each other. And some people in the past, they choose to die. So
you say that they choose to die?
Some of them. Because for them, it's not something bad. If somebody die, for the whole community, is like an offering for Pachamama. To say thank you for what they have in life, the products, all this stuff.
In episode 3, we're going to Bolivia.
As soon as I get there, this cloud of white gas starts billowing towards me.
Tear gas.
Oh my God, I can actually feel it.
Oh, guys.
Go. Oh.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tune in and get diverted
on Off the Ball.